It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Okay, it is California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, my co-host, is here along with the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, who has been absent for the last 2 weeks. You went to Portugal?
I went with the Cork Producers Co-op.
Cool.
Subsidized the trip, and now I'm an expert on cork.
And you should be.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
So it was one of those, what do they call those trips where people pay for it and you...
Junk it.
Thank you.
I prefer to call it a work trip.
I like junk.
That's what I told my wife.
Familiarization.
Exactly.
Okay. Joining us today, the return of one of our favorites, Steve McCrosty from McCrosty Vineyards. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
How do you like the new studio, dude?
Well, it looked different. I was confused about where I was at first. So far, so good.
Well, that's how I feel.
Seeing your smiling face across the way makes it all welcoming.
See, that's one of my favorite things. This is a real talk show set for a radio. And, you know, I get to look across the table at my guests instead of craning our necks left and right.
Yeah.
How you doing? How?
You can actually walk down the aisle without...
Yeah.
Getting intimate.
And we got enough room. Mike has his own sliding glass door to get in and out. We got two doors here. Yeah, wait till they're going to put in a hammock for me, a wet bar, and a hot tub.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And take out all the mics.
Yeah, we won't be on the air. I'll just be hanging here in the hot tub. And
will there be a massage table?
Yeah, we'll get it.
Okay. I'm in.
Steve McCrosty is with us. Before we... have Dan and Barry talk about this winery. I want to get Steve to give us the history again. You guys have been around a while. You're doing great stuff, by the way. I'm a big fan of all your charts.
Yeah, well, my history in Sonoma wine goes back to the mid-70s when I started at a humble little place called Hacienda Winery, and I was just out of school at Davis.
Ah.
And ended up staying at that job for a dozen years down in Sonoma. But in that period of time, I was buying grapes, making wines from all over Sonoma County. I then proceeded to start my own business and creatively called it eponymously McCrosty Winery. And...
Stayed up for weeks trying to come up with that.
Oh, it was tough. It was tough. And I agonized about it like I did everything. And my wife tried to talk me out of starting our own family winery, but I was determined and bound, and I went ahead with it, and it ended up being pretty successful. So that was my experience.
What was your first vintage?
74.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I knew you'd been around a while.
About
I didn't realize
time,
it was that long.
I think
long
I met Dan Berger about 2 years later.
That's about right.
Yeah. When he was still working in San Diego.
I was working in San Diego, and I did a trip through Sonoma County. I actually came up to do a seminar in 78 at CME, and spent about 3 days at the CME Winery doing a seminar. And during that trip, we had a run-in, but I think we even met prior to that because I came up a couple of years earlier than that for another trip. Sonoma County was my first visit to Northern California wine country.
You were writing a column, a wine column.
Yeah.
That was, I believe, just appeared in just the San Diego newspaper.
The first year was 79, and that column appeared in the San Diego newspaper twice a week. So there was a Wednesday column, and then there was a Saturday column. And so I was doing two a week. And then when I added, in 79, I was syndicated, and then I added Copley News Service, and I ended up doing three wine columns a week. When you're writing three wine columns a week, you're forced to think creatively. So that was.
Excuse me, I was having a conference with my head.
Well, Dan, we are dating ourselves, but anyway, Dan,
yeah,
I've had a lot of...
As I always say when I say I'm dating myself, and then I add, well, if I didn't, who would?
Someone's got to.
Hey, let's talk about this Chardonnay. It's
lovely. What year is this?
This is the 2015 Russian River, which is kind of a new wine for us. You know, the rest of the history involves the move to the Russian River Valley in 2013 and the building of a really cool new facility. We partnered with an outfit that's given us the ability to spread our wings a bit and do more things for the brand. And so we now, in addition to the Sonoma Coast Chardonnay, that really that was the first wine that we started with, we do a number of other bottlings now that are sold exclusively at that facility on West Side Road. And this blend is one of them, the 2015 Russian River Chardonnay, which is really a showcase of some of the best grapes in the Russian River Valley, I'm proud to say.
That's right. Bright fruit, a slight bit of grapefruit, but more tropical notes as well. But interesting, not very much oak in this wine. It's really very delicate in some respects, but it's got a nice, big, rich mouthfeel, and it's got really good acidity, as all Russian River Chardonnays will. And what's the retail price on this, Steve?
The retail on this is $46, as I recall.
$3 at Bottle Bar.
Don't get me in trouble.
Sorry, I keep saying that. I keep saying things like that. But your thoughts on McCroskey and this wine in general?
This is great. It's prominently featured. I think about 5 cases a week of this goes out of the store regularly now.
Yeah.
There's a following. And it doesn't have any of the cloying qualities that some of the really kind of overdone Chardonnays have, I think, and I think that's the appeal.
No, this is subtle. Yeah. Did you say?
It's gorgeous. The subtlety of the wine is really in the fruit. And some wines tend to rest heavily on the oak character. There's very little of that here.
Yeah, it's really balanced and fresh.
You must have most of McCroskey's offerings at Bottle Barn.
I think pretty much everything
Barn.
That's available retail. 5 or 6 different wines at this point retail?
Yeah, there are several wines that are available, as I said, only at the tasting room. But
sure.
We do broadly distribute several wines. So the 2 Sonoma Coast wines, both of the Wildcat Mountain wines, one of which I brought today.
Oh, cool.
Those are available.
And talk about the McCroskey Estate House, because I haven't been up there recently, but, man, does it look beautiful. I'm looking at McCroskeyWinery.com, and you should too.
Well, we were lucky enough to find the property to begin with, number one. It's on a perfect location, I've got to tell you.
We're getting a lazy Susan for the middle of the table here. So. Thank you. Seriously. Carissa Cruz from the Grape Growers is having someone get a little wooden lazy Susan.
There we go.
Yeah,
we can have to spin it around. The bottle.
Yeah, and the food and everything.
Or one of those things that, like, a sushi bar has.
Or a train.
Yeah, yeah.
A model train where we can stick the stuff and, you know, just hit. Yeah.
Exactly. That's beautiful.
Okay.
We got the property. We purchased the property in 2013 and spent a year and a half designing and getting a building built with the idea of really delivering the best possible elevated tasting experience for people.
Yeah, it's on a
hospitality,
hilltop.
Hospitality that would be the very best state-of-the-art in the industry today. And it would be seated tasting where the customers have the opportunity.
Couches!
Yeah, looks pretty comfortable.
It's comfortable. It's
That's
very welcoming.
Beautiful.
You won't want to leave. Once you get there, you don't want to leave.
And seated tastings are very cool.
Yeah, and many people come in and joke, and they say, I wish I could live in this place. It's so gorgeous. So,
tell everyone how to get there from the rest of the area.
From Healdsburg, go out west on Mill Street, and go then south on West Side Road, about 4 miles, and it's on the right side. If you're coming from the south, take River Road to Wohler Road, and then come up Wohler to West Side.
Over the bridge.
Over the Wohler Bridge, and head north on West Side Road, and it'll be on the left side, about a little further that way.
The address?
4605 West Side Road.
Man, that looks
great
gorgeous.
Location.
And right on a hilltop overlooking Russian River Valley.
That vineyards. Is one of the most beautiful spots anywhere in wine country, whenever friends come into town. We had actually a friends from New Zealand come in about 2 weeks ago, and we sent them over there and said, this is the part of Sonoma County you don't want to miss. And it was at the end of their day, and they said, well, Dan said not to miss it. So they drove out that way, and they were awestruck. got an email from them while they were on the road saying that's the best part of the entire trip to Sonoma County.
It definitely looks like Tuscany in many ways, which is a lot of our areas here do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a great view of the Russian River itself, clear eastward toward Mount St. Helena and the other areas of Sonoma County to the east of there. You can't beat it.
Did you plant any fruit on that site?
It's got 13 acres of Pinot Noir. We call that proudly Thales Vineyard, named after my wife, who's been my partner in life and business for 36 years now. So it's Thales Vineyard that we feature with the Pinot Noir grown on that property. So a number of different little blocks, each different rootstock and clone combination, all farmed to meticulous detail. And we create a couple of blends every year from the vineyard. It's also a big source for our rosé wine, which is getting very popular, too.
Well, I was going to ask that. I know you specialize and have in Chard and Pinot. Obviously, you make a rosé. These days, everyone has to.
Yeah.
It's a big deal now again. And
I'm really still amazed. You know, we started about 10 years ago, and it was something that we kind of did as a passion for us to please ourselves. And I remember convincing people in those days was rather difficult because there was still the perception that pink wine meant sweet wine. And,
right.
You know, we were still in the aftermath of White Zinfandel. And yeah. It's only maybe 5 years ago that it's really catching on, and I know my Bottle Barn buddies have a huge section devoted to.
Yep,
yeah, I just expanded it
to rosé.
Today.
It's remarkable.
So I can get more.
Well, the late great Ben Pearson, my first co-host on this show, used to say when it came to rosé that the fiction was the thought was in the past that, and you mentioned pink wine, that like guys did not want to be seen drinking pink wine.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it was the perception, as you said, was that it was way too sweet. Boy, has that changed.
And a lot of it came down to how bad the grapes were. People were using the wrong varieties, and they were making it too sweet, and the alcohol was up there, and it was just, you know, it was weird stuff. And the sugar content was a bother. The wrong grape varieties were a bother, but the production methods were also a problem.
Yeah. How so?
Not using enough cold fermentation, so the warmer fermentations blew off some of the more delicate aromas, and they weren't as fresh and delightful as they are today.
And they were over-alcoholed, a lot of them,
right?
They
were about 13.5 alcohol, which is more than a rosé needs.
Yeah, exactly. What are we doing here?
Oh, this is the best.
The second Chardonnay?
This is the good stuff.
Which one is this?
This is Wildcat Mountain Chardonnay. This is the 2015 vintage of that. And this is a vineyard that's far distant. This is down in, technically in Carneros, at the edge of that, the western edge of that AVA appellation.
Wildcat Mountain.
That
I've never heard of it.
You know, right next to the newly defined and approved Petaluma Gap appellation.
Mm.
So it's really a Petaluma Gap kind of vineyard sitting on a ridgetop at 700 feet, volcanic soil.
But this is the Sonoma Coast.
It is in Sonoma. Yeah, it is technically a part of Sonoma Coast. You know, all of those appellations that are heretofore mentioned are all within Sonoma Coast. So we label Sonoma Coast make it, because it's really a coastal kind of site. It's windy as hell. It's close to the bay, so it's, you know, it gets a lot of fog and the grapes often sit in the fog, not above, not below. So I think every attribute about it is really coastal, but it technically is in the Sonoma Coast Appellation.
Wow, as you said.
But it has a completely different flavor profile. You know, I think a marked contrast to the Russian River blend that we just showed.
This has got all the bells and whistles, but it done within the context of great acidity, because in the aftertaste, that's what you're getting. So within the mid palate here, you're getting all these nuances of barrel fermentation and lees contact. It's got all the flavors that you really want in a great Chardonnay, and then on top of it, you've got the wonderful acidity, which is part of that Petaluma Gap that you're adjacent to.
Well, listen, it's a 2015 Chardonnay, Wildcat Mountain, Sonoma Coast from McCrosty. This, I think, is one of the greatest Chards I've ever had, or one of my favorites of all time. And it really is amazing. And I look and see that it's pretty amped for a Chardonnay, 14.8% alcohol. But it doesn't come off that way. It doesn't taste that
way. The acidity is what saves it. Yeah. Fortunately, the acid's so good, that it's in balance. And that's the whole secret. If your acid and your pH are in balance, then you can sustain a little higher alcohol and you're not going to taste it.
Wow. So this won't qualify, though, for the new AVA Petaluma Gap? Or
yeah, good question. No, it will not. No,
you're right on the edge of it.
We looked at that early on when they were making their application. And what the folks there had figured out was that there would be no further overlapping appellations approved by the TTB. And that's the reason. So it's now defined to the edge of any other existing appellation within Sonoma Coast, but not to intrude into it.
This is a distinct problem for the government. The government has no understanding of wine at all, zero. And one of the problems that
do they have an understanding of anything?
Hardly.
Okay.
Well, in this case, they are still permitting a number of appellation overlaps that existed prior. They sort of grandfathered them in. So in certain areas, for example, Chalk Hill, Russian River, Alexander Valley, they all come to a point there at some point. And some of those appellations, some of those parcels are in two appellations. You can call it either this or that. Well, that's kind of dumb. If you outlaw the current overlap, then the others should be resolved the same way. But they're not doing that.
My understanding is that, yeah, that was done and has been done, but the most recent news, at least in this case, was, and this is as of about 2 years ago, they weren't going to allow that anymore.
Well, as you know, governments regulate wine in different ways, and the Spanish and the French all have rules that the industry agrees upon before the rules are instituted. In the United States, they simply impose the rules and don't ask anybody.
Well, yeah. Again, talking about the government.
There we go.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'm still amazed how long you guys have been doing this, Steve McCrosty. I knew it's been a long time, but first vintage, 74?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That adds
no
up.
No kidding.
Huh? This will be my 45th vintage.
Holy moly.
Not over yet either.
It better not be.
You're not getting off that easy.
Yeah. McCrostywinery.com. M-A-C-R, capital R-O-S-T-I-E. Go online and check out their estate house, sit-down wine tastings. And is that 7 days a week or what?
Yeah, 7 days a week. Huh?
And as far
making
as...
making an appointment is advised.
That's what
it's easy to
say.
Do online through Vino Visit. And heads up, bunch of people there running the show. They'll take good care of you. It's a friendly place. It's a happy place. Believe me, you will not be disappointed.
Better than Disneyland. And
so I have a
question. Supposed to be the happiest place on earth.
Yeah. I have a question for Steve. I'm disappointed you took the tartan off the label.
Well.
What is a tartan?
Scottish.
There you go.
Scottish.
He's Scottish.
Yeah, right.
That's the reason. Yeah, that was, well, the tartan served us well for 20 years. That was our first label design, commencing with the 87 vintage, our first vintage.
And is the tartan like a kilt?
A kilt is made from a tartaned piece of fabric.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's the plaid.
I'm Italian, what do I know?
It's the Scottish plaid.
That one got
I didn't have much else to brag about when I started this humble winery, and McCrosty is a Scottish name, and though I'm a thoroughly American guy. The family goes back 200 years in immigrating from
right
Scotland.
Yeah.
And Chuck House, our wonderful label designer, who's been a friend for all these years, came up with that idea, and we liked it, so we went with that. But Charles House.
I ate at the Chuck House last weekend. Good steaks.
I won't tell him that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I couldn't help.
It had served us well for 20 years, but in 2008, we decided that it was time to make a change and that we were getting, the label was getting a little dated, so there was need to change the label. So.
All right. And Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn, you brought some of the specials this week at Bottle Barn?
Yeah, a couple of wines from our ad, a rosé from Bernard Griffin.
Okay.
And then a Washington State Red we can weave in. Maybe after Steve's Pinot.
We'll be back with Dan Berger, Steve McCrosty, and Barry Herbst It is California Wine Country. And remember that you can listen to any of these segments on our podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and whatever else. It used to be iTunes. Now it's called Apple Podcast. But anyway, any place where great podcasts are offered, you can check it out. Also, we have our own site for our podcast, calwinecountry.com. Calwinecountry.com. Check them out. If you miss an episode or want to hear more, want to listen to what these guys say about the wines that we're talking about, so you can go to Bottle Barn and buy them. It's calwinecountry.com. It is California Wine Country. Dan Berger back, of course, and Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. And our special guest today is Steve McCrosty from McCrosty Vineyards. So you did go to UC Davis.
I did. I got the idea to get in the wine business after serving reluctantly and without my own desire in Vicenza, Italy, during the Vietnam War. Mm. I repeat, I was not in Vietnam. I was in Vicenza, Italy.
Well, that sounds kind of nice.
It was nice, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
I might have joined had I know I knew I was going to Italy.
But I got real lucky. You know, the gods have smiled on me occasionally. You know, my life, like everybody's, has been a series of twists and turns and ups and downs. But that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I got interested in
why did we have guys in Italy during the Vietnam War?
Well, since you asked, I can tell you the story. And I was the cryptographer. I was the code breaker for – it was a very secret operation, and it was meant to maintain nuclear warheads. I'm not lying here. Maintain nuclear warheads on missiles that were in silos in the mountains of Italy in the Dolomite Alps.
Wow.
Positioned to be shot at the Soviet Union should the need arise. When this was still the days of the Iron Curtain. And so
did it have anything to do with Vietnam?
No.
It was
World War II. It was still the Cold
War.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And so the Americans maintained the missile warheads, and the Italians maintained the missiles themselves. So they were parked right next to each other. And so should there ever be the need to hand the warhead to fire the darn thing, I was the guy that would receive the message to have that happen.
Oh, my God.
And so that's what I did.
I bet you thought about wine a lot during that time, and that's when you decided to make a decision.
You know, I really didn't
take it. You might be dusting those warheads off again now that things are getting a little tenser.
Wow. I can't believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I can't believe it seems to me that, and no one's made a movie about that situation, which is fascinating.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting time, and I was, you know, young and naive, and I was guarding a lot of very valuable top secret stuff. And I had very little training in it, and the whole thing was so casual, I was kind of frightened about how casual the whole thing was. And and you know, we've been talking about the government here a little bit, joking about it, and I have to say I did not, from that experience, get great confidence in the government's way of doing things. There was a lot of wasted time and a lot of cops and robbers kind of stuff that went on that was not too confidence building.
But at least you were in Italy.
Yeah.
And not the rice paddy.
And I served my country.
Yeah, amen to that.
And you can thank me for my service.
I do thank you, and I thank you for your wine. And that's probably more important at this point for me. I'm sorry, it didn't come out right. Wow. Steve McCrosty, it's McCrosty Vineyards, McCrostyWinery.com. And you got to check out the website and look at the photos of the McCrosty Estate House. This thing is gorgeous, and everything around it's gorgeous. Let's check in with Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Every week he gives us some of their specials available this week. What do you got there?
So we are right on the cusp of the core of rosé season, and I was telling these guys earlier, this Bernard Griffin 2017 rosé of Sangiovese is a wine that I think in at least three competitions I've judged in, it's come out as the sweepstakes winner.
Really?
It got a double platinum award 2 years ago at the Platinum Awards competition in Washington. This stuff's good. It's been good for a decade.
And ridiculously inexpensive.
I hate to put this McCrosty Shard into the dump cup, but I have to. So, okay. You know, I've gotten, Steve, I've gotten so into rosés, which I never thought I would. But everyone's making, a lot of people like you and others are making some amazing rosés these days. Dry and blended with the Pinot and other varietals that just are, they're incredible.
They're real versatile. And as Anthony Beckman, the winemaker at Belletta, one of our competitors, but a colleague and friend nevertheless, said in his little piece in the Press Democrat this morning, you know, don't think of these as just poolside quaffers. You know, you can look at these wines as, you know, they're dry, they're fresh.
They're good with food.
It's great.
Oh, they
great
really are,
meal
yeah.
Wines.
Super
yeah.
versatile.
Don't mistake it.
Dan, what would you prefer to serve with rosé like this?
An interesting pasta dish a couple of weeks ago to serve specifically with rosé. Just boil a pasta till it's done, and then just put in fresh cherry tomatoes, sliced very thin garlic.
Do you mush up the tomatoes?
Just put them in there. Just cut them in half and so that they start to bleed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Put in olive oil and some Parmesan. That's it. Don't even cook the tomatoes. Don't even cook the olive oil.
No
don't
garlic?
No. Plenty of garlic.
Okay.
Use a razor blade to cut it so it's
like
nice and
they
thin.
Did in Goodfellas.
And then just serve a rosé with it. And all you need is the hot pasta. The rest, the pasta will actually cook the rest of the ingredients. And it's fresh basil especially. Lots of fresh basil.
I love fresh basil.
And fresh basil's just coming into season.
Yeah. Steve, wow. Tell me about this wine.
No, it's not his. This is
oh,
Barry's.
I'm sorry.
This is a Bottle Barn wine.
Well, Steve, tell me about Barry's wine.
You could.
I think it'd be interesting since you taste a lot of wine in your job. How do you see Sangiovese as the building block for this wine, the foundation for this wine, as opposed to a Pinot Noir?
You know, I'm more and more a believer of Sangiovese better as a rosé than as a red wine. I think you said the winery switched to rosé.
This winery was making red out of these grapes for a number of years. And at one point, about 12 years ago, Rob Griffin told me, he said, the best thing to do with my grapes is just make pink wine out of it. And that's so he's been doing it for about 12 years. And
it's got naturally great acidity, which is really what rosé needs.
Now, see, this is a teeny bit sweet for me.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is that most restaurants and even at home, you're going to serve this straight out of the fridge. And it's going to be at 41 degrees or something. Mm. This is here. This is right here. It was 61 degrees in the glass we're drinking.
Yeah.
So that shows the sugar more.
Right.
But what he is expecting is that most people
it's
will
gonna
serve
be ice
cooler.
Cold,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is this from again?
Barnard Griffin. So it's Washington State, which is why the
and you know Griffin.
Yeah, he's a nice man.
Okay. And that's why the price is so low. You know, land is cheaper, grapes are cheaper up there than.
So what's the price of bottle bar?
$10.49.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So
wow.
Yeah, it's hard to produce a rosé that cheap here. It's tough.
Yeah.
Good wine.
Land's a little cheaper than.
Hard to believe in my long, long history in my first job back in Hacienda Winery. Mm-hmm. The owner of a winery in Washington State was looking for a winemaker. He'd come down to California, and he basically offered me the job. And I said, well, I was happy where I was, and I wasn't going to move. But I said, I know a guy at a neighboring winery, at the time Buena Vista Winery. His name's Rob Griffin, and he might be interested in this job.
Wow.
Yeah. And truth be told here. And so
you discovered him.
So I walked over and told Rob about this, and he went for it, and he got the job right away, and he moved up there. And he's, of course, spent the rest of his winemaking life in the state of Washington.
We might not be drinking this wine right now if it wasn't for that
referral. You never know.
What's the name again? I don't see the
Barnard line. Barnard Griffin. It's Barnard on this side, Griffin over here.
Okay.
Sangiovese Rosé, 2017.
I think his wife's name is Barnard, so it's it's a combination of the two names.
Okay. So, again, take this, since I think it's a little too sweet, take it and put it in the fridge.
Yeah, I actually put it in the freezer for 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. You don't have to. Wine is not that fragile.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
So, say 15 minutes in the freezer, it'll be less sweet to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
This is more the temperature you'd want to serve Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Chardonnay temperature, but it's a rosé.
I mean, this is not warm. It's still cool, but it needs to be colder, is what you're saying. Steve McCrosty is with us. What else did you bring?
I brought also a Pinot Noir that is made from the estate vineyard at the estate property, the estate house that I just told you about on West Side Road, Russian River Valley. And
What year is this?
This is 2015. And it's Pinot Noir. It's called Thalee's Vineyard, named
Who?
After my wife, Thalee.
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 Yeah.
It's a Norwegian name. It's a family name.
Thalee. I like that.
And it would be pronounced Talla in Norway. It was a great-grandmother's name. And so we named it for her in her honor, since she's been going along with me for this wild ride of being in this crazy business for all these years.
You should name everything after her.
Yeah.
Probably.
The vineyard was planted and established when we took over the property. I must say that we've had to do quite a bit of work to get the farming tuned up, to get the vineyard in better shape, and to really understand how to work with the grapes. But suffice it to say that the wine quality has improved greatly in the three vintages that we have made from the property.
And what is the vintage on this one?
2015. It's a combination of two clones. The 2A Vadensville clone and the Mariafeld clone that are not too mainstream here in California, but
hardly.
we've figured out a way to work with them, and I think create a really nice, tasty Pinot Noir.
Dan, your thoughts?
Gorgeous red cherry fruit.
Oh, I'm getting that.
Stunning. That beautiful aromatic, which comes directly into the mouth. The first thing you taste is what you've smelled. So it's really got that personality. It's really got that character of Russian River. And more than that, there's wonderful underlying acidity. So it balanced off really nicely. And I can just imagine this with some really interesting foods that I would say something along the lines of chicken breast that has not been overdone. To give this wine something a little heartier than a typical. Most people will serve Pinot Noir with lighter foods. That's true, but it'll hold up to something pretty hefty as well.
And especially this one, I'm making Cornish game hens tonight.
There you go.
Would work,
perfect.
Right?
Yeah. It's got a nice underlying earthiness that a lot of Pinots don't have.
I really like it. And the finish is
it's gorgeous.
Staying with me.
And the nice thing is it's not over-oaked. And none of your wines are particularly oaky, but the nice part is that the fruit really comes right to the front of the palate, and then at the end, it's all fruit.
Yeah. we're celebrating High School Radio Week. Sorry, Joe. I'm just in that look. He gets mad at me. I love him.
That was you.
Yeah, that was my problem. Yeah, I know. Well, believe me, I have many. Mike DeWald's at the Sharks game. Joe Pasquini is driving today. Our guest is Steve McCrosty from McCrostyWinery.com. 74, their first vintage. It still blows me away. How do you look so young? I need some tips.
Well, thank you.
Seriously.
Keep drinking
help
wine.
Me. Oh, yeah, wine. It's probably the wine.
I think part of it's genetics, but I do work on it. I take it pretty seriously. So I work out, you know. I do all the stuff. I
cross my legs on the couch from time to time. I figure to me that's aerobics.
How many calories is it to eat a Doritos?
Actually, I eat okay. Other than that, forget about it. McCrosty Winery, they've been around for so long, a major iconic winery in Sonoma County, and they have the McCrosty Estate Ranch. You should go to McCrostyWinery.com and check out the photos and then head up there in Russian River Valley. It's a beautiful place. What are we talking about here? I forget.
We got one more wine from Barry's stash.
Oh, okay.
This was a... you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. You're off mic, but... Pass it around.
So this is another Washington State wine.
Oh, really?
Washington has a really interesting wine history. It is the second largest producer of wine in the United States after California.
Really? I thought Oregon was.
Oregon's about fourth or fifth.
Really?
Yeah, I think Texas crept in there somewhere.
Jeez.
New York.
New York, yeah.
This one was a big winner at Press Democrat tasting this year. Best of class in the Bordeaux blend. I don't think they do it by dollars there. I think it was just
I had a weird hit on the first time I stuck my nose in it. And then I waited a few, and I stuck my nose back in it, and it changed completely.
A little bit of gunflint. And
is gunflint that what that was? Because something kind of put me off. But
a faint sulfury component, but it goes away really quick.
It really did. Yeah. Now I'm smelling it, and it smells good.
That's a nice wine.
It's called Eruption?
Eruption. And I don't know if the vintage is 15, I think?
13.
Okay, only off by 2 years. But this was a big winner, and the price is right. $9.99 for this. And, they don't do it, the Press Democrat, by price. So it was in with $40 wines, $50 wines, $20 wines. And this won best of class for Bordeaux blends.
One of the things people don't know about Washington State is that their Merlots are better than their Cabernets. And this wine, chances are, has a decent amount of Merlot in it, and that's one of the reasons why it's got this big, rich mouthfeel.
See, I love Merlot much more than Cabernet.
Yeah.
That's just me. But,
and Merlot does better up there. I agree with Dan. This has got to probably have more than 50% Merlot in it, and Cab Franc probably as well. They don't tell you the percentages on the label, but...
And again, the price at Bottle Bar?
$9.99.
Jeez. So. Wow. What do you think... Steve?
Oh, wait a minute. This isn't what? Washington. This says High Valley Appellation. High Valley is Lake County.
Oh, is it? I thought I saw Red Mountain on there.
Well, it says High Valley on the back label.
Well,
okay.
Barry just got back from Portugal.
Yeah,
so
it's a little jet lag.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the eruption is reminiscent of being in volcanic soil.
Mount Kenai.
In the highlands of Lake County. I wasn't going to say anything, but I think we should be official and correct. It is a Lake County wine.
Lake County, Washington, folks.
And the winery is Brassfield Estate.
Ah, there we go.
Let's give credit where credit's
due. There you go.
Oh, I'm just getting signals from Joe here. So. Do you have a list of other specials, or I don't want to embarrass
you? It's in the
you.
Press Democrat.
Yeah, that's right. Go to PressDemocrat.com.
Five other wines on special this week.
And grab a Press Democrat newspaper. I have one on my porch every morning. And look for the Bottle Barn ad, and it'll list everything. We don't have time.
A porch.
A porcha.
Porcha.
Yeah. The PD puts my paper on the porcha every morning.
There you go.
God bless them.
I got his sense of humor down now. It took me only 20 months.
You really do. He knows what I'm going to say. Because it's a lame sense of humor. California Wine Country, Dan Berger. It's brought to you by Bottle Barn. We got a Bottle Barn. Are you okay over there? We're wrapping up this Wednesday's Wine Wednesday, California Wine Country, with Dan Berger, Barry Herbst, and our guest today, Steve McCrosty from McCrosty Vineyards. I'm still blown away, and I've said this repeatedly for some reason over the hour, that you guys started your first vintage in 74 and have been going strong ever since. Now, I did ask, and maybe I went to the Bahamas for a minute, which I often do. You specialize in Chard and Pinot.
Yes.
And have you made anything else? Do you plan to make anything else? That's why I thought that was your rosé, because
we have made Merlot and Syrah.
Oh,
no longer. And presently, we've reintroduced a couple of things. We've got a little Cabernet, a little secret, available at the estate house.
Okay,
a Napa Valley Cabernet under a different label called Clockwise. And we also make a pretty tasty Sauvignon Blanc.
On
that label, too.
Really?
Yep. Secrets, but they're available at the estate house.
Well, I got to get up there anyway. It's gorgeous right now. The McRosty Estate House, Russian River Valley. It's a beautiful place. Call for reservations or to let them know how many you're bringing and what you want. But it's a gorgeous seated wine tasting. And
4605 West Side Road.
Steve, great to see you again, buddy.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Stay well. Dan Berger, we'll see you next week. Barry Herbst.
Yes, I'll be here.
Well, that's it for us tonight. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.